Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, Ron Gallo puts me on the guest list. I feel so privileged. It's Friday. I'm still without my co-host, Patrick Foster. I think he's halfway through now that trip around the world that he's taking. So I guess by today, he's probably in maybe like Nepal, something like that. But he'll be back soon. It is kind of weird being the only voice on the show. I can't say I particularly like it, which is why you're going to hear more of an interview that I conducted. The interview is with Ron Gallo. I conducted the interview at the Forecastle Festival in Louisville, Kentucky, which is why you'll probably hear some background noise, things like that. But it was really fun to do. Ron is a really smart guy, and it was fun just to talk music with him. And on this portion of the interview, you're going to hear him, you know, really sort of break down some of his songs and tell you what he was thinking and the inspiration for those. And it's pretty fascinating stuff. So let's get right into the interview with Ron Gallo. Today there's who knows how many thousands of bands that call themselves punk bands and play, you know, basically power chords and some pop melodies or whatever.
Yeah.
But what you're doing is almost like pre-punk kind of stuff. You know, more like Stooges and MC5 and yeah, exactly.
It's probably my favorite era.
Okay.
Yeah. All that you just said, yeah.
The punk bands that I hear more in your sound are maybe a little more like Dead Kennedys, the Wipers, like stuff like that. Yeah. Especially when you do the like yelps and that kind of stuff. I hear that kind of vocal delivery. But anyway, so I guess what I'm wondering is just sort of like, was this like a conscious decision to like create that kind of a sound and maybe separate yourself a little bit from, you know, kind of whatever, what else is going on in music right now? Or is it something that just kind of happened?
Just kind of happened. It was just kind of following what I was feeling, what I felt drawn to, the energy. It's more of an energetic thing, I think, just being drawn to the energy of that stuff and identifying with it, really.
Yeah.
You know, especially in that sort of late 70s sort of proto-punk quote-unquote era, I feel like there's just such a freedom in creativity during that time. Like, people were getting really weird and expressive in a way that people were not used to, and, you know, toying with reality a little bit. And I really, really love that. And then taking that in a 2018 way and mixing it with some other, you know, but that's a good time. As it seems, at least the music that came from the time.
Another thing I noticed at your set here, now this is a festival. I don't know if it's different when you play like in a club, but there was quite an age range of the people who go to see you. And I think that's probably because there's something that maybe older fans like myself, you know, can relate to in some way, but yet it's still, you know, it feels fresh and relevant, I think, to younger fans as well. Is that the kind of thing you see at your shows?
Beautiful. I guess I do notice that it's a pretty wide range of people at our shows. You know, the kids like up front, sometimes, like especially with club shows, like the kids up front sort of freaking out, and then there's just like, you know, there's people my age, and there's older people, and there's younger people, and there's kids. They're just like, I don't know, it's cool to, you know, that it can reach across the spectrum. I mean, it's human music, it's made for people, so like to see that it makes sense to, you know, all different kinds and shapes and sizes and ages and whatever, it's great.
Yeah. So Toy Soldiers, it started small, just like a duo, right? And ended up becoming a pretty big sort of collective of musicians. Now you're back to being like a small group again. I mean, on the record, it was just three of you, right? Mm-hmm. And now you have a keyboard player with you on the road.
Yep.
So it's still pretty small.
Yeah.
Again, was that a conscious decision? You wanted to like put yourself back into, you know, just creating with some, I guess, limitations sort of around what you do?
Yeah. You know, it's a combination of things. It was at first kind of an economical thing. You know, I was touring in like my SUV. I had no money to pay anybody to play with me, so it was kind of bare minimum, like drums and bass and me to make the songs work. And I like that because it forced me to actually play guitar, or at least be able to fill the space playing guitar, and have to focus on that a little bit more. And yeah, the limitations are nice because if you can make a song work or make a show work with just three people, I like that. I mean, yeah. I think you should be able to.
Right.
And then to be able to expand from there, that's cool. But, you know, yeah, I guess it just kind of happened, but started by necessity.
So let me ask you about a couple of songs on Heavy Meta.
Hmm?
Oh, wait, before I do that, another one on Really Nice Guys that I'm sure gets a lot of attention is I'm on the Guest List.
Yeah.
It's free. I struggle into my faded black tee. 6 blocks to the door, I look confidently. The big boy there asked to see my ID. Asked me if I got my tickets already. So big, so small, simultaneously.
Tell people what that's like, I guess, as a musician, and what you have to deal with going putting on shows.
It becomes this whole realm that you kind of live in, where when you play a show, all of your friends want to get on the guest list to get in for free. But then also you become the same way. Like when your friends are playing, you feel some weird entitlement, like, oh, I, you know, those are my friends, can you get me into the show for free? Like, oh my god, I'll grace you with my presence if you'll allow me to enter your show at no cost. Like, you kind of get into this mindset that like you exist in that world and it should all be accessible to you. And then what's funny is like it devalues it. So a lot of the times it's like, you know, you go to see your friend's band play and you end up standing side stage or in the back where it sounds terrible. And it's like not even usually about the show. It's just funny, the whole thing. You know, it's being on list, getting people on list. It's, you know, it's just another dumb thing to comment on in the musical world.
So there's a music related song on Heavy Meta, which is All the Punks Are Domesticated. Mm-hmm. And kind of what we were talking about before, about just sort of almost everybody in the band now thinks of themselves as punks. So different from it was, you know, a generation ago. But you had an experience working alongside some people, and that's what was the inspiration for the song, right?
Yeah, the initial image, I guess, the title, came from I was just doing like a house cleaning job in Philly. You know, just like working with some, you know, as you would say, punk rock kids, you know. And it was just funny to kind of like these kids that look like when people think about punk rock, what that looks like, talking about like student loans and like getting a place with their significant other, like car payments. It's just funny. Like it's just because it's so contrary to what people would normally associate.
All of the punks are domesticated. All of the freaks have gone to bed. All of the pioneers are saved for information tech. Oh, wrinkled and dead. Now every room is sterilized. All risk is paralyzed. Meanwhile, the Pop-Tarts climb the pop charts. The blood clots block your heart parts. And no one really has. anything to say.
I think it's great. I don't care about, you know, being a normal person, but I just think that the imagery is funny. And so, like, that line popped in my head. And that line was kind of summed up my general feelings at the time about, like, the state of music and culture and, you know, just kind of it being sterilized and safe, right, and plastic and blah. No, there's no true expression or freakishness or real freedom that exists anymore. It's like all just so dialed in and just, you know. So then the song came out. It just, yeah,
it's funny because knowing that backstory is really interesting, but when I first heard it, what I'm thinking is kind of like a little bit what I was saying earlier. Like, I remember a time when people considered, you know, punks or punk rock is like scary, like threatening to society. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And now it's just, you know, it's like fast food.
It's fashion, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me a little bit about Kill the Medicine Man.
Kill the Medicine Man, I guess, is sort of me addressing, I guess, my own, but also just people's general relationship to, you know, I guess, medication of all kinds. You know, whether it's like drinking or whether it's prescription or whether it's using drugs to self-medicate or to treat symptoms. Just kind of addressing the whole ritual of that all that's so normalized in America. And my sort of ideology behind that is to not, and like, feel your pain and face your stuff. Because that's all that people are doing, is just treating symptoms, but not actually healing problems.
Right.
And really just kind of my feelings on how powerful that can be, to actually just feel and deal with what's happening, even if it's hard. Because then you can actually work through it and you can overcome it. And that's not a common thing, it seems like, anymore. So.
No, very true. And you stopped drinking yourself, right?
Yeah. I started kind of as in support of an ex-girlfriend of mine who struggled with some drug and alcohol issues. And I was like, I drink like anybody does. I don't really care. I support you. Like, I don't. And then I started to kind of see a shift in myself, like how I like to spend my time. And do I really like these people that I only hang out with in bars or like late at night?
Right.
Well, it kind of started to put things in perspective. And then what started as sort of a support thing became like, oh, this is actually kind of great for me. Like, wow. Didn't even. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty much. I'm just this all the time. I'm just in this state. You know, I have some red wine every once in a while. You know, we were over in Italy.
Yeah.
You know, have some red wine. It's nice. But I just like being this. I like being.
Do you find that people react to you differently when, you know, they're drinking and you don't want to, or you're not, you know, doing that?
Yeah, I think I think people are predispositioned to like think that if you don't drink, it's probably because you have a problem with right. it. It's not, I guess it's just not the norm. So people greet it with like a, look, are you sure? They're like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sorry, man. Like, it's just funny. Like people are so not used to it. Like, I just don't drink. Dylan, our drummer, is the same way. He's never had a drink in his life. It's people look at you funny, and it's interesting because it's like, why is it so weird to you to just be in the same state all the time, or that we don't feel compelled? Everybody do whatever they want. I don't.
Right.
I think everybody do whatever makes you happy, have a good time. But like, it's just funny when it's greeted with weirdness, when you don't greet somebody that's trashed out of their mind falling over on the sidewalk as weirdness. You're like, oh, that's funny. No, it's funny. Yeah. It's just, everything's backwards. It's great.
And the song Please Yourself, so along these kind of same lines, is that personal to you? Is that sort of like your personal mantra in some way?
I guess in a way, everything... It's more about, it's not like a self-indulgent song. It's more like you kind of have to get yourself right, make sure that you're in a good place, and that is how you benefit the world around you. It's like a personal responsibility song. Focus on yourself, take care of yourself, and then you will be a good contributor to what's going on around you. Not the other way around.
Right. I think... You know, in the business you're in, there's so much pressure to please other people, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's why I think that's why people become so closed off, because of that. You get to a point where you realize that you cannot win by exerting all of your energy, pleasing others and playing the show and making everybody happy. That you just like, you know what? Fuck it, man. I am just. That's when it becomes, you tread a line between being like completely consumed by yourself, or it can go the other way. You're just like, fuck it, I'm surrendering to it.
Right. But don't you find that you do your best work when you just focus on what you like and what you want to create, right?
That's it. There's no other way, I think.
Yeah. All right. Ron Keller, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
It was great meeting you.
Great talk. Thank you so much.
All
right. Nice to meet you.
Have a great rest of Forecastle.
You too.
Thanks again to Ron Gallo. That was a great time. Really enjoyed hanging out and talking with him. Please check out his music. As I mentioned yesterday, his debut album is called Heavy Meta. You guys, I know the music you like. You're really going to like this. It's out on New West Records. And then he has a follow-up, a little EP called Really Nice Guys. And it's a fun record, but in a different way. You kind of have to be ready to be sort of in on the jokes. It's a lot about the music business and his experiences in it, and it's really fun and funny. Okay, next week we're going to have more interviews from Forecastle Festival. We have a group called I'm With Her, which is sort of a roots/bluegrass super group. We have a young band out of Florida called Yardage, and we have Scott Carney of the band Wax Fang, which is a Louisville band, but really an interesting one, and you guys are going to like that. Okay, we're going to get out of here, but of course, you're going to continue to listen every day. You can find the show on all the big podcast platforms. Please tell your friends. Please rate and review the show. And let us know what you think about Ron Gallo or music in general. You can email us, rock@suburbspod.com, or you can call and leave a message, 612-440-1984. Or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those at Suburbs Pod. Please do all of those things, and I promise at some point Patrick Foster will be back. But until then, you're listening to Rock in the Suburbs with just me, Jim Linehan, and I will talk to you next week.
Another dumb thing to comment on in the musical world.